away from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to ParentCast, a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax, because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 28 of ParentCast. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I really love having a baby that sleeps.
Oh, I know, right?
finally, where did this come from?
I can tell you where, except we are a family-approved show.
let's just call it the baby gods. I think the baby gods finally decided that they were going to like us.
Yes. For those of you who don't know, we had our son, Reese, who is now 2 years old, he had a severe case of colic and pretty much screamed nonstop for a year. It was terrible. And now we have a baby who just whines occasionally. You may hear her. There she is. But, you know, does the normal baby stuff and sleeps.
And like a long time, by the way. And I fully intend on making everybody who listens to this show extremely jealous of that fact. I want them to know that I want to scream it from the mountaintops like Ron Burgundy that I'm in love and my baby sleeps.
Oh, and just know for those of you who are cursing us, our son didn't sleep for a year.
No, really longer than that. A year and a half.
Yeah. So I apologize. And if you're jealous, don't worry. We were jealous of people before. So before we get into this week's topic, which is all about maternity photos and our awesome interview with Lisa Gendron, let's step into the judgment-free zone.
Boom. All right, so I think I got the judgment-free zone this week. You ready for it?
Yes.
So the other day, I was having dinner, and you, my love, were out. You were gone somewhere. I forget where you were. But I was cooking dinner for Reese, and he kept saying, I want hot dogs. I want hot dogs. I want hot dogs. So finally, I, being the good dad that I am, and the fact that I love my child beyond belief, I decided, okay, no problem, buddy. We're going to give you some hot dogs. So I cook one hot dog and give it to him. And I give him some blueberries and some other stuff, too, to go along with it, because I'm not that bad of a dad, right?
Yeah.
He eats the hot dog, and like, boom, gone. And he looks up at me and goes, more hot dog. I said, okay, no problem. I'll give you another hot dog. You're eating. That's good. Give him another hot dog. Boom, done. Another. He goes, more hot dog. How many times this went on?
How many?
Five times.
Five times?
Kid ate five hot dogs.
He's two.
Not only did he eat five hot dogs, he had a whole thing of blueberries, a whole bowl of cottage cheese, and then he had one of them baby yogurt things, like sticks that we put it in the freezer, so it's, we call it ice cream. But he had one of them baby yogurt sticks too, and like he just didn't stop eating. And I gave him five hot dogs. Who gives their kid five hot dogs?
You do, I guess. Like, maybe he's having a growth spurt.
I don't know what happened, but I gave my kid five hot dogs. And I will let you all know that you can live after eating five hot dogs. Because my kid did. And I was a little worried about it there for a moment.
Well, I won't judge you.
No, please don't judge me. Because this is indeed the judgment-free zone.
I think Felicity's judging you. She's like, Dad, please never feed me five hot dogs.
I don't want five hot dogs, Dad. Please. What's wrong with you? All right, my love, are you ready to get into the interview?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Joining us today is Lisa Gendron. She is a doula and professional maternity, birth, and newborn photographer based out of our home city, Providence, Rhode Island.
Hey, girl.
Now, mind you, I have seen so much of Lisa's work. A ton of my friends have worked with her. And when it came time to me being pregnant and big and bloated and feeling like a zebra. I mean, that's really what I felt like because my stretch marks have gotten pretty darn big by that point. I was really upset about having any kind of photography taken, and I saw what Lisa did, and Lisa was able to create some magic out of other people who had maternity photos taken. And I was like, how does this magic even happen? I feel like a huge zebra. I feel disgusting. I mean, I know that there's this beautiful life inside of me, but I feel disgusting. How do maternity photographers do it? So I just knew we had to have Lisa on for this interview. So Lisa, thank you so very much for joining Blake and I on ParentCast.
Absolutely.
So Lisa, tell me a little bit about how you first got into photography. You, of course, take maternity photos and birth photos and newborn photos. And I just want to know a little bit about your story, about how you decided to not only be a photographer, but to specifically take photos of this time in life.
So I studied photography at Rhode Island School of Design. So I had a really firm, wonderful, thorough art education and introduction to analog photography. So I did black and white darkroom photography and a lot of work around concepts and developing aesthetics and all of that. And while I was a student at RISD, I had the opportunity to photograph the birth of a baby of some friends of mine. And it was a really pivotal experience for me. I worked with the family during the pregnancy as well and made a body of photo documentary work about the pregnancy and the family as the mom prepared for birth, was present at the birth, and then photographed them afterwards. And I really just found a passion for working with families during this time of transformation. I'm really interested in how a woman's body changes, how her identity shifts, and just the real magic and beauty that can come from this time of transformation for families. So after I finished my degree, I started training as a doula, simultaneously developing a body of photo documentary work about birth in Rhode Island. So about birth practice, about all of the many things that go into a family's decision of where to birth, how to birth, all these different things. At that point, I was also a mother myself, so I'd had some experience with it. And as I was preparing to do that work, I started photographing families during pregnancy, eventually in the birthing process and then afterwards. And I just knew it was the niche for me. I absolutely love working with families during this tender and absolutely amazing time.
That is so cool. I'm like in awe of you that you did this whole journey of exploration about this special time in life. I felt like I had taken on the world because I had visited every hospital that you could give birth in the state. That was like one of my big goals with my first pregnancies. I said, okay, I feel like I did a lot of research when I wanted to buy a car or when I went to college, but I haven't really been researching anything about this really important time in my life and my baby's life. So you really have gone above and beyond, and this is great. So since you said that not only do you take newborn and birth photography, but also maternity photos, and that's what we're going to focus on today, when is the ideal time for a mother to have her maternity photos taken?
So This is a really great question. I get asked this all the time. It's in many ways, it's a matter of preference for women, for families. But there are some guidelines that can be helpful to people when choosing the time and, you know, to have their maternity session. I suggest somewhere starting around 7 months. At that point in the pregnancy, bellies are starting to really bloom. They're looking round and beautiful. But it's also a time in the early third trimester where women are still feeling pretty energetic and good and comfortable in their bodies. This is sort of before the onset of extreme tiredness that can accompany later pregnancy and some physical discomforts that make maybe a little bit more of an adventurous photography session less appealing. I have photographed families and women later in pregnancy as well. I do suggest really before 36 weeks gestation. Once you get to 37, 38, there is a chance that you, as you become more pregnant and you get to early term, which is 38 weeks, that you will give birth. And this has happened, unfortunately, with a couple of my clients who have tried to book me last minute or squeeze in a session, you know, right as their due time was coming. So if you really are invested in having these photographs, I do suggest trying to plan ahead a little bit and maybe for 7th, 8th month of pregnancy.
Lisa, you talked about someone trying to book you last minute. With that in mind, how early should a mother book a maternity photo shoot?
That's a great question too. I think if there's a photographer you have been watching and looking at that work for a long time, that you can book any time in the pregnancy. Some photographers have extremely busy photography practices, and booking with them early on can ensure that you have the window of time that is most ideal for you and your family. That being said, I leave some flex time with my booking. I will take a family last minute. I have such a passion for creating these images for women and their partners and families that I really work to accommodate people even when they contact me last minute.
Say a mother has booked her session and she's getting ready mentally. What types of clothing should she be looking for that are going to work best? And are there things that should be avoided? Because I just went shopping for maternity clothes and everything's stripes. And I already feel like a zebra. So it made me think, like, you know, you see these photos and I didn't know what types of clothing people should be bringing to the shoot.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion about this online, too. So often women will be on the internet looking for inspiration, and that can be a good place to start. But there's a couple of guidelines that I suggest as really helpful for families. One is to choose clothing that is comfortable. You really don't want to feel restricted or uncomfortable during your session. If you do, then that's going to come across in the images. The second is to think, good rule of thumb, if and when I'm looking at these images in 10, 15, 20 years, am I going to cringe at my style choices? So I tend to suggest to people some things with a kind of classic look. This may be avoiding colors that are super trendy, but maybe would be unappealing in many years' time, or a clothing that they feel will sort of translate to any time period. We all have looked back at pictures of our own parents at different points in time and looked at their hairstyles and clothing and wondered what were they thinking. So when you're investing in photography and you're putting a lot of thought and energy into choosing your photographer, planning the session, that's one thing to think about. Another thing to think about is that the female body during pregnancy is incredible. And so you want to have clothes that honor the integrity of the figure. So avoiding clothes that look like muumuus, I think, is really helpful. Considering what kind of body type you have and what you feel looks good on you, and choosing patterns that will flatter your body type and styles that will really showcase all of the assets that you want to showcase. Some women are very modest and prefer clothing that has a little looseness and flow. Other women are really looking for an outfit that shows all of their curves off. So I also refer to an inspiration board that I have on Pinterest. All of my clients who book with me, I will send them a link, say, these are the things that I like and I really feel like are beautiful. And sometimes that's just a good jumping off point for some of these things that I talked about.
Some of the photos I've even seen on Pinterest look like the mom's just holding a blanket or something, you know, some very sometimes organic looking just piece of fabric. It doesn't even look like it's a piece of clothing.
Absolutely. And that brings me to the other piece, which is that I have a full service photography studio. So I have wraps, pieces of fabric, dresses, all kinds of beautiful items that I have that are available to all of my clients who are doing studio shoots or on location shoots with me. This is something that I've cultivated and is really important to me. Some clients will find it very stressful to be out hunting for beautiful items. And so I have them available for all of my clients to use.
That's great. So your clients don't feel like zebras.
They don't feel like zebras. I try to avoid large animal references when a woman is trying to have a photography session that showcases her beauty, that honors how amazing her body is. Feeling like a large animal can...
You're a hippo. Go.
So yeah, no zebras.
Have you ever had a photo shoot where you're just like, oh, this is not gonna work, like this is bad? They're gonna look back on this and be like, nope, shouldn't have done that, bro.
So I try to be as diplomatic as I possibly can, because I respect that all of my clients have different styles. But on occasion, I have had a client, especially early in my career, who chose to wear something that I didn't think was the most flattering. So I graciously photograph them in the outfit of their choosing, and then I suggest maybe some of the things that I have that I need or feel will showcase the beauty of their blooming figure, and they have a variety to choose from. And it may be that the outfit that I find absolutely abhorrent is actually gorgeous to them. And so I honor that. That can be a possibility as well.
Well, we've all seen the awkward family photos.
The BuzzFeed pregnancy photos.
We've all seen them. And what I want to know is, how do you avoid the awkward family photos? How do you best work in the partners or the siblings, like, or the kids, so that you don't end up on the internet?
That is an excellent question. I have to say, I have spent many an hour looking through the awkward family photos, having a good chuckle about it. The truth is, one of the reasons that I suggest really looking at maternity photography and finding a photographer whose style you really feel passionate about is that some people have an eye and some people are very experienced, and so they know what to avoid. In my early photography career, I did maybe some of the choices I did not make, but I may have taken photos that were from less flattering angles, or that were a little bit over the top, or the concept just didn't translate well from our mind's eye into an actual photograph. So for me, I think some of it's trial and error at avoiding cliches, or only doing things that are commonly done when they are requested by my clients. And I certainly don't have a judgment on people wanting certain very trendy poses or pictures, but I tend to really try to feel the energy and the unique qualities of every family and woman that I work with, and make pictures that are authentic, honor that beauty, that individuality. And when I do that, I generally will avoid the really awkward bad stuff, because I'm really present to the individual beauty of the human beings in front of my camera.
So when, like, where are these maternity photographs usually taken? Are they things that are inside, outside? How do they happen?
So I have a studio, as I mentioned before. So a lot of my maternity sessions will take place in studio. It's a comfortable studio designed for privacy, for access to all of the beautiful props I have. And I have my studio and natural lighting available, depending on what the needs are of the family. So many of my sessions will happen there. I also do sessions outside. I've done them in the snow. I've done them in the light rain and in the sunshine. So I try to get a sense of what the family is looking for in terms of the images, and then the location will kind of be contingent on what kind of photographs the family is hoping for. I also do travel to people's homes and do them on like location in people's homes. And for many years before, I had a studio. That's exclusively what I did. So I've worked in almost every conceivable situation, and I'm happy and comfortable doing that.
So what I want to know is, you know, there are some ladies that don't find themselves to be that gorgeous, or they don't feel beautiful when they're pregnant.
I'm raising my hand right now. My first pregnancy, I had body dysmorphia, where I thought nobody could tell I was pregnant. I thought I was so svelte and so sexily beautiful that I would tell people, like, oh, just so you know, I'm pregnant, even though I had a watermelon. This time around, I feel like it is loud and clear. And I've been having a tough time feeling beautiful.
I guess
absolutely.
I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, how do these maternity photos sessions help that kind of insecure feeling? And what do you do for women to make them feel powerful in that nature?
Absolutely, yeah. Being pregnant, it doesn't always make moms feel beautiful. I think we have many people have a romanticized notion that once a woman becomes pregnant, she automatically feels like a goddess. And That may be true for some women, but by and large, that is actually not true. Women often feel very self-conscious and perhaps not at home in themselves. This question really touches on one of the most poignant reasons why I love being a maternity photographer and why I feel having maternity photography is so important. And pregnancy is a time of deep transformation, both internal, literally and figuratively and external. Like our bodies, our minds, and our hearts are changed on every level. For many women, this can make us feel like strangers in our very selves. So it's not just the discomforts, you know, swelling, stretching, and the sense of being out of the comfort zone of your normal body that makes this challenging for women. We're thrust into a form that is unlike anything we've ever experienced. So even in the second or third or pregnancy beyond that, this can happen. So many women have told me that they felt that they were not themselves, and it was difficult for them to be comfortable in this new body with all of its roundness and fullness. And so, and as a maternity photographer, I've recognized that women really need to be validated in this, first of all. There's no wrong way to feel. A woman shouldn't feel like she has to feel beautiful just because she's pregnant. But the sort of the next level of work, so that my work as a doula really addresses this need for women to be heard, to be able to express their discomforts and their concerns about their changing bodies and really be validated in that. So that kind of leads me to the next part of this. Why be photographed? If you're feeling confused about your body, you're feeling large, you're feeling uncomfortable, scared, or you're just plain fed up with the body that you've inherited as your belly and your baby is growing. One of the things is that being photographed is a call to mindfulness. The way I work with my clients, the way I approach photography, is an opportunity to be present to ourselves and how we really feel about who we are and where we're at in that very moment. So when a woman enters my studio and, you know, she's self-conscious, she's not even quite sure she wants the session, even though she's made it there, which is a big deal in and of itself, I pause and I ask her to settle into her heart, into herself, just in the same way that a woman is called to presence if she takes a prenatal yoga class, or if she sits down with a good friend and the good friend says, "How are you feeling?" And then I sort of take it from there. I invite a woman to experience her own beauty by being with her breath, by feeling the roundness of her body. I invite her to put on beautiful clothes. I invite her to step into a beautiful space, one that I've cultivated in my studio. And in that process, women start to feel beautiful. They feel heard. They feel seen. They feel honored. And ultimately, most women, almost every woman I've ever worked with, starts to feel a little bit of beauty and some fun, because frankly, as grown women, we don't get to play dress up all that often. And being in the studio and being photographed is kind of a chance to let loose and have some fun. And every single woman I've ever worked with has come out of the session with at least a few photographs that she actually feels beautiful in. And that is such a gift to her in the future when she looks back on the pregnancy. And maybe most of what she's going to remember is feeling large, but not so in charge. And in heartburn and pelvic discomfort and nausea and any other number of ailments. But when she looks back at those images, she'll remember the moment where someone was really present with her, where someone, namely me, if you're choosing me as your photographer, really saw her beauty and reflected that back. And then she'll see, and if you work with a skilled photographer, this will be the case with other people's work as well, an image that really reflects that beauty. And I feel like all women deserve that, and all families deserve that, because photography during maternity photography is not just about the women. Often it's about the family. It's about the partner being invited into an experience that really honors the beauty and the intensity that pregnancy can be.
That is so nice, because we were just at a wedding recently, and I repeatedly said to Blake, "I need to hide from the photographer. Like, I don't want me to be documented at all being here. And of course I found one and it's from the back and I'm wearing my striped dress and I go, oh God, no, there's my round back. Goodness. You know, and it, I often noticed how our parents' generation and before, you never really saw pictures of our moms pregnant. And mm-hmm. I think it's because, thank God, maternity photography has kind of really come along to help embrace it and for photographers like you to find the beauty and to find those right angles and to also help the mother feel beautiful. Because otherwise, as a pregnant woman myself, we hide specifically from that camera. I will make sure that all you can see is my face, if that, because it's a bit rounder than I want it to be right now. So I might be hiding from people or behind people for photographs. And yet I noticed after my first pregnancy that I thought, wow, there are no photographs of me being pregnant. Like I totally blocked out pretty much a year of my life away from the camera. And that's a little sad. I felt a little sad about it. So it's really nice to hear how you're able to take the essence of beauty that is a pregnant woman and be able to capture that.
Yeah, absolutely. To me, it's really important. You know, we live in a culture that has projected the idealized female form into all of our minds and hearts a bit. And the pregnant woman is not the ideal beauty in many people's minds. I beg to differ, but this is what I do. It's really where my passion lies. So many women are measuring even their pregnant selves against ideals that don't accommodate for the amazing changes that happen in a woman's body during the process of pregnancy and also in the postpartum period. So I think also working with a photographer who specializes in this special and important time of life, who understands the challenges and understands that women are self-conscious and don't feel entirely comfortable, even in their own skin, working with someone who understands that can really help this process, can really make it much more comfortable and joyous. And ultimately, the images do reflect that.
And thank God I will not be asking my husband to take these photos. That's
what are you trying to tell me?
I love you, but you just, nope. So now that people are able to understand really the importance of picking a maternity photographer versus having my husband Blake take their Instagram photo, probably at a very unflattering angle. How should someone go about choosing a photographer? Like, what types of questions should they be asking of these people that they might interview or look for online?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing that I think the first most important thing is to look at the work of the photographer that you're considering working with. If they have technical skills, if they have a professional presentation of the work, if they have a social media presence that reflects a lot of interest, those are things that can indicate a level of professionalism that I encourage people to really value. There is something to be said for, you know, an emerging photographer building a portfolio and working with them. But unfortunately, the consistency in the product can, and in the artwork can differ. So that's the first thing I really suggest. The second thing I really suggest in terms of asking questions about it is, how experienced are you in working with pregnant women? Do you have any knowledge or training in working with specifically pregnant women? What kind of guidelines do you have for sharing the images? Do I get to choose what you share, or do you just share whatever you like? And ultimately, I think those things can help you get a sense of if the photographer feels right for you, especially if you're considering bearing all or taking more intimate type photographs. You really want to work with a photographer who you trust, who you feel it respects your privacy and your modesty concerns, and who is going to deliver the kind of images that you are hoping for and that you are investing in.
about the most important thing, in my opinion, with the thing that I find the most compelling about what you do. What's the cost, and what would different things in a session include for various costs?
Absolutely. So this stuff does differ from photographer to photographer. There are photographers who work in a model called shoot and burn, which is that you pay a set fee, and they take the images, they put them on a disc or USB, and they give them to you. Now, some of those photographers will highly polish the images and do a lot of professional editing on them, and you'll get a really high-quality product deliver. Some of those photographers will make small adjustments, perhaps don't have extensive training in post-production, and will deliver you images that may or may not print or look towards that level of polish that you really want when you are seeking out professional photography. Now, the other photographers who look in similar models to mine do offer the investment of buying digital images, but really are interested in producing a body of work that will allow clients to choose specific things that work for them. So for some families, that means like buying a book or prints for the wall, or sometimes digital images alone. So that can differ from photographer to photographer as well. For me, I charge a session fee. The session fee is $100. That's for on location or studio. And that gets you all the time with me, and then a proofing gallery to choose your images from. Generally, it's about 50 images, but it can differ. It can be, 75 or even more, and sometimes a few less, depending. And then that gallery is available for a couple of weeks, and you can order whatever you like from the gallery. I also give guidance to clients who are not quite sure how to order or what to order, and I do in-person ordering sessions when they are requested. Some people are not sure exactly what they want. Now, often maternity photography is paired with newborn photography, and when you have a beautiful set of images from a maternity session and a beautiful set of images from a newborn session, that's a perfect situation to buy something like a book or a beautiful wall collage or something like that. So I will give people guidance with that if they're doing more than one session with me.
Makes sense.
Especially, as you said, if they're doing both sessions, why not make it into a kind of montage? This was you in the belly, and this is you on the outside, baby.
Absolutely. These pictures tell a story. They tell a story about all of the excitement and sometimes the anxiety of waiting. They tell a story about the family before the birth of a child. Sometimes that's the story of a mom and a dad and an older sibling. And then with the inclusion of the new person, they tell a story of the transformation of the family and how love grows and how families shift and the dynamic shifts. And these images are prized possessions for families. I've never had a family that invested in photography with me that regretted it. In fact, people come back to me years later and tell me how much these images mean to me and how moving they are. And I think often people are concerned about the cost of investing in photography. And it can be a sizable investment for families if you're working with a high-quality photographer, but it is not something anyone ever regrets. These images are available not just for you to enjoy in the years to come, but ultimately will be there for posterity. And having high-quality art images, prints, books, things that are archival, well-made, amazingly produced by an artist, these become heirlooms in a family and tell the story of who you were. And for grandchildren and great-grandchildren and beyond, they also tell a story of who they are. And photography is not just about creating images that have value for a week or 6 months or a year. They tell the story of a family, their value system, the love for years to come and generations to come.
You had mentioned that while searching for a photographer, some of the questions that they should be asking about are if they edit their photos, if they're just going to be giving them on a disk or a thumb drive, or if there is some kind of an editing process. So what options are there exactly for these different editing processes? And what is your recommendation for parents when they work with a photographer? You know, like, what's the advantage to working with a photographer who does the editing?
Yeah, absolutely. When you work with a photographer who is skilled and experienced at both shooting and editing, you're going to get high quality artwork. And that's, especially if you're investing a lot of money in your photography, that is something that is important. For some families who do not have the budget to invest in a photographer who works at, you know, who works in a higher price range, you know, sometimes choosing a photographer who's less skilled, who's just building a portfolio, or who just takes the images and put them on a disc, that can be appealing to people. That being said, one of the things that is unique about my business is that I provide income-based pricing to families that request it. It does require some paperwork and filing financial information, but to me, this is a social justice issue, and this is really important to me as an artist. So on my website, it states this. I'm also part of, in my work as a doula and the perinatal center that I run with Kaylee Sutton of Open Circle, we offer income-based pricing to all of our clients when requested, available to everybody. So some people will look at my work, will look at my pricing structure and think, this is out of range for my family. We're a working-class family. We don't have the economic resources for this. I really encourage that those families to ask me about income-based pricing. And if they're willing to fill out the paperwork, it's available to them.
Wow, that's tremendous. Really, I didn't anticipate you saying any of that. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's something that's really unique to my business, but my work as an artist and as a doula and a community organizer has made this really important to me. I feel like it's a real social justice issue that beautiful photography is not accessible to people who do not have great socioeconomic means, and so this is something I'm passionate about.
Wow. Well, you know, with that in mind, with all the different kinds of types of people that, you know, could potentially want maternity photos, you know, everyone's got a different style. Everyone's got a different want. You know, I know me, I like very clean looking images. I like, you know, almost industrial style images. With that in mind, are there different styles for different folks? You know, different strokes, different for different folks?
Absolutely. I mean, this is one of the beauties of the modern age, and especially the internet, is there is a photographer for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I really encourage people to look at what's out there and to work with a photographer whose aesthetic, sense of beauty, is really in line with what your family loves. There is absolutely a unique photographer for every style. And not everyone wants what I make necessarily. So go out there and find it. You know, just get on Pinterest or just get on Google and search and find somebody who's going to make the kind of work that your family will cherish.
So the big question about styles, in my opinion, and after looking on your website and also Pinterest, to bear or not to bear? That is the question. How does mama know if showing a lot of skin or the very little bit of skin, how does she know what's right for her? Like, how does she get to that level where she feels comfortable?
Yeah. This is a really big question for a lot of moms. Some of my clients come to me and they know for sure they want an on-location, fully clothed session, no belly skin. Very modest people, and I really respect that, and absolutely people get what they want there. There are other people who are curious. They're not maybe quite sure they know how much skin they want to show. I work on really helping people find what their comfort zone is. So each individual woman I work with, I talk to her about it. What kind of images does she like? What has she been looking at? How does she feel in her body? What kind of props might help her feel comfortable or more beautiful? I actually have had clients who are very modest people who have dared all for me, and really they've dared all for themselves, because ultimately when they look at that proofing gallery and when they choose to order prints or products or digital images, they can take or leave whatever they want. So what I do is I work on producing the most beautiful images of a woman as clothed or unclothed as she chooses to be, and I never push a woman to go out of her comfort zone. That is really important to me. And as a doula, I recognize that people have all kinds of boundaries, and some people are very modest and other people are very free and willing to take it all off. So I honor that in the process and really help a woman feel comfortable and find that place where she feels good, whether that's keeping it all on or taking it all off. And then I really give some guidance in the process of choosing how these images will become part of their lives. And I have to say, if a woman's on the fence, if she's not quite sure, I say, let's do it. Let's do it, only to your comfort, of course. And then if you don't like the images, you don't even need to buy them. You don't even need to look at them, you know. If she leaves the session and she says, you know, I don't want to see them, then she never has to see them.
Lisa, I always have the pleasure of asking the last question of every interview, and that question is the same for everybody, which is there one thing that you either have said or have not said that you really want to emphasize to the listeners? Is what's the one thing you could say to all of them that would best fit what you do and what you want to get across to them?
Yeah. Well, in regards to maternity photography, I guess that the simplest in a nutshell thing I could say about it is people never regret doing it, and they always regret or many times regret not doing it. So if your family has the resources and has the interest, do it. You won't regret it.
All right. Thank you very much. That does it about, you know, for me. How about you, kiddo? You got anything?
Lisa, if people want to reach out to you or learn more about you, where can they find you?
They can find me at AgroTerra Photography if they're interested in what a doula is and what my other work is. With families is, they can find me at AgroTerraBirth. Those are both .coms. I'm also on Facebook under those names. And I've got some other stuff floating around on the internet that people can just Google my name, Lisa Gendron, or AgroTerra Photography or AgroTerraBirth.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. This was such a pleasure to talk with you about all of this. And really, you've kind of given me, as I sit here on my bouncing ball in my third trimester, I'm like, go head down, baby, go head down. So I'm here bouncing, braless, not feeling very beautiful, but just the way that you've talked about this stage of life. I'm sitting here now suddenly with my shoulders back a little bit, feeling beautiful bouncing after all, well, because...
You know, the funny thing is I'm sitting here braless too, bouncing up on my ball. And I also feel very beautiful. So you've done an excellent job, Lisa. Thank you very much for that.
The only thing I now Absolutely. Know is I need to now go shopping for cute underwear, because I'm looking at these photos of these maternity photos on your website, and these girls have cute underwear, and I've been wearing very unflattering granny panties.
Well, granny panties also welcome.
Good. Oh, well, thank you so much. Once again, this was an absolute treat.
It was my pleasure. Absolutely.
You know, I was in doubt of maternity photos. I'm like, what? You know, why are we going to take pictures of this? And like, it just seems so hippy-dippy, and it seems so crazy. But Lisa really shed some light, for me at least, on what and why maternity photos are necessary. I mean, in the end, it's not necessarily that you're going to show these photos and put them in your house and put them on display. I mean, you could if you wanted to, but it's really for the mom and making her feel like she's beautiful and giving her that empowerment that she talked about, you know what I mean? And this feeling like, I'm beautiful, regardless of how big my belly may be, regardless of how crappy I might feel at this very moment in the time within this picture, I look pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I should feel good about myself. And once again, thank you to Lisa Gendron for coming on the show and talking about the maternity photos. And why are we even doing a show about maternity photos? Because, you know, Mary and I had talked about it. And in the end, I think it's important that people know that you can do it and that you can be empowered and that you can look good. And you can go as crazy as you want. You know, if you wanted to get your belly painted and with crazy crap that sometimes people do, you can. If you want to go so nuts that you end up on awkward family photos, you can. If you want to have a beautiful photo of you and your husband or you and your partner or whatever, and you have this big belly and it looks really cute and you have like this really sexy mesh on or whatever, I don't know, you know, terry cloth or something, I don't know, whatever you're wearing, if you really like it and you want to put it up in your house, damn it, you are more than welcome to do that. And I think that's a great idea for people to know about.
It is. It is. So if you actually live in the Rhode Island or Massachusetts area, Lisa's photography studio, it's called AgroTerra Photography, and you can find that at agroterraphotography.com. It's A-G-R-O-T-E-R-R-A photography.com.
What do you say, kid? You want to get into the wines of the week?
Yes, please.
All right, let's do it. My love, this one's all about you today.
It is. Why? Because I've been whining for like 24 hours straight. So my wine is part wine, part just praise for a certain group of people. So my wine is that my husband has been very busy between like weddings and then his best friend has been in town. So I've been juggling the newborn and a teething two-year-old by myself for long streaks of time, you know, sleepless nights, and just you don't get a break. So I've been really cranky, and
I think that's an understatement.
Yeah, I've been really whining, I'll tell you that.
There's
been whining.
Some legitimate whining going on
there. Was
this
even
house.
Crying yesterday because my kid wouldn't nap. He just didn't nap
and he
at
hit
all
you?
He hit me, and then I made him read this book called Hands Are Not for Hitting. And I asked him, I said, why are you in timeout? And he smiled and he said, hit mama. And he smiled again. And I had this moment where I was like, have I raised Hannibal Lecter? What is going on? It's been really, really a rough time. So, yeah, I drove for an hour yesterday and let him listen to one song on repeat because he likes it. And he wasn't yelling.
And I came home and I laid the hammer down.
Yeah.
I was like, you are going straight to bed. You too, Reese. And Reese, you are going straight to bed. You're going literally in your crib, and I'm not going to look at you for the next hour until you have to eat. And then I will take you out of your crib, and then you will eat, and then you will apologize to mama and say, I'm sorry for hitting you.
Now, mind you, to a two-year-old, none of this makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense.
Sure.
It makes perfect sense to me, and thereby, it makes sense to do it, because he needs to know that he cannot, not only are you his mother, but you're my wife.
Yes.
And don't nobody talk to my wife, or don't nobody hit my wife
That's
the way
it.
That he did.
Well, so as I said, this is part wine, part major respect to all of the single parents out there who are single parents by choice or not by choice. Holy smokes.
Oh my God.
You are rock stars.
Yep.
Rock stars. And you know, if you ever find yourself like needing a friend, call up another parent because they're going to have your back. They're going to help you out. They'll stop by, or maybe they'll just come by at 7:30 when the kids go to bed and have a glass of wine with you.
And if you need someone to drop the hammer on your kid, you can call me.
I'll put
them in their bed, even though they probably don't understand it.
So wine/major respect.
All right,
that's what I got.
You ready for my win?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. My win's awesome. You ready?
Yep.
My kid ate 5 hot dogs.
Oh my gosh.
How awesome is that?
I don't know. There was just an article on Facebook about why you're not supposed to give your kid hot dogs.
I don't care. My kid crushed 5 freaking hot dogs in one setting. And I'm not talking like these little dinky like kid hot dogs. I'm talking like the big Nathan's Famous hot dogs, too.
You know what's so funny is that in your mind, you're seeing this as a win because you're like, wow, my kid's going to grow up to be so big and strong because he eats hot dogs.
Damn straight.
I hear this and I just picture that Japanese guy that like races bears
Kobayashi?
Eating hot dogs. Yes.
Wait, he races bears?
Wasn't that a show like to see what humans could do better than animals? Look it up. If they really did, they like saw like, could the fastest human outrun an animal? Could the fastest hot dog eater out eat hot dogs than a bear. Like,
I'm not sure bears eat hot dogs, though.
Bears will eat anything. Oh, Felicity did not like that show. She was like, Mom, that was a stupid show. But yeah, that guy that eats hot dogs, that's what I picture when you tell me that our two-year-old ate five.
I love the fact that he ate five hot dogs. My darling wife, now that you are a super mom, well, you've been a super mom. You're a super woman. Let's put it that way.
Oh, thank you.
Super woman. Wonder Woman. I'll even go that far.
Whoa.
You should
nice.
Be starring in the new Batman vs. Superman film. I will say that.
Wow.
Now that you're Wonder Woman.
Yes.
What's your parent pick?
My parent pick of the week this week is a product called Milk Savers. And basically, if you are a breastfeeding mom, while you are breastfeeding, you put this milk saver, it's like a cup that goes inside of your bra, on the opposite boob that you are feeding from. Because when you feed, both sides start shooting out milk, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One side has a baby attached to it, the other side doesn't. So you can lose like up to 2 ounces of milk sometimes, just it's called letdown. You could lose on that other side. And if you value that breast milk and you don't want to just soak in your shirt or soak in your breast pads, this little plastic thing catches it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can put it in a bottle, put it in a bag, whatever. But now you have milk. So for those of you who are really struggling to get up your milk supply for your freezer, for if you get sick or anything like that, totally use Milk Savers. And you can just Google that, Milk Savers, and you will find it, or head to our website, parentcastpodcast.com, because we will have it listed on this show's parent picks.
All right, let's do it. I never get sick of that music. I can play it again. I could totally play it again.
Don't.
I could do it.
I know you could. Well, for those of you who want to stay in touch with Blake and I, the ParentCast team, please find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. All of our handles are the same. They are ParentCast. Just one word, ParentCast.
And if you want to get to all of our great interviews and all of our great episodes that we've done in the past, you can find us at www.ParentCastPodcast.com.
Yes. Oh, we can't wait to hear what you guys think about this episode. Remember, Lisa Gendron of AgroTerra Photography, agroterrafotography.com. If you are in the Rhode Island area, whether that's Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, hey, whatever floats your boat, she does all types of different photography. So we will have Lisa's bio and links on our website as well.
If you want to get in touch with us by the email machine, you can reach us at parentcast@gmail.com. And Mary and I are going on a big trip this weekend, just so everybody knows. Huge trip. A big podcasting conference trip down in Fort Worth, Texas. And if any of you, but I know there are plenty of you out there that are in Texas, please give us a shout. Let us know that you're there. And if you want to have a drink, whatever, have fun with it, we can totally do that. And we'll be learning about podcasting. You can join us, maybe. Who knows? We'll go crazy with it.
Okay.
But in the meantime, my love, let's close out the show.
Thank you all so much once again for listening to this episode of ParentCast. Blake and I have just such a blast talking about all these parenting issues. It's like the best. It's the best ever.
Do you think we're going to be able to close this out before the music ends this time?
Yes, because I'm done.
Are you done, really?
I'm Mary.
My name's Blake.
And you've been listening to ParentCast. Boom. I told you we could do it this time.
Ha 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 ha.